I would like to say hello and welcome to everyone on this day of trumpets. It is a holy day, brethren, a high day in the plan of our God. God says that we're not to come before Him empty-handed on this day. We are to come before Him with an offering. And I think most of us in God's church understand this by now, that we are to give an offering to God on this day of trumpets, a high day, a holy day in the plan of God. The day of trumpets is much about the sound that comes from those trumpets. And today, this is what we will focus upon, the sound that comes from the trumpets of God. And we will focus upon what they mean to God's church at the end of this age. We will see today some of how the trumpets were used in ancient Israel. We will see what their purpose was and how they were used. They were used because of the sound that they made at that time. So we will focus upon the sound and what the sound that comes from those trumpets mean. So today the title will be The Sound of the Trumpets. And time will not permit today to go into what all of those trumpets mean. But we will concentrate upon these today about what they mean on this holy day, the day of trumpets. We have always focused upon the shofar, but there is a lot of meaning of the trumpets of God. And there's a lot of meaning for God's church at the end of this age about those trumpets. So let's start today and see the meaning of some of these trumpets that were used in ancient Israel back in Moses' day. So let's start today by turning to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10 in verse 1 we find, and it's about the silver trumpets. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You will use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. So it tells us here for some of the uses of those trumpets that are being made. When they blow both of them, all the congregation will gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So that's what they were to do. If they blow only one of those trumpets, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, would gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side will then begin their journey. So we can see that it was used to organize what was going on in the camps. And when you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall begin their journey. They will sound the call for them to begin their journey. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. So we see different ways and different uses. In verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priest. So we can see who was to blow those trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you will sound an alarm, another way that the trumpet was to be used. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you will blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they will be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Let's notice verse 14. The standard of the camp of the children of Israel set out first according to their armies over their army. So we can see the commands and how they were given and how they were to be carried out, how those trumpets were to be used. Let's go back to verse 6 and focus. When you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side will begin their journey. They will sound the call for them to begin their journeys. So we can see that this was done very orderly. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, you will blow and not sound the advance. So we can see this is a call to assembly. And that was the sound that was to be made. So we see this use of those trumpets. In verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priest, will blow the trumpets. Talking about the silver trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So we can see that this was a gathering together where the priests were sounding the sound to the congregation. So when we bring it down to our time, it is the ministry of our day that makes the sound through the assembly on the Sabbaths and the holy days, through the sermons. Those sounds through those sermons to the congregations to guide, to teach through those sermons. Those sounds that come from the great God of this universe and His Son. The sounds to the church of God come through our apostle in this day and then down through the ministry. We know and understand the order of God's ministry just as they did in ancient Israel. They listened to Aaron and the priest, and they listened to Moses. But Aaron and the priest, they used those sounds through those trumpets that were made. But we do it today through an apostle and prophets and down through the ministry. So this was much about the ministry in their time and how they used those trumpets to announce to the congregation. Verse 9, let's apply this to our time. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who attacks you, then you will sound an alarm with the trumpets. So in their time, this was about a physical war. But in our time, brethren, it is about a spiritual war that is taking place. And we are at war, brethren. We are in the battle of our life. For our life, our spiritual lives. And I've said it many, many times that we are at war all the time within our minds. And it is the battle for our mind that is taking place. We are at war, as it says, against the enemy that oppresses us. We understand that it is Satan and the demons, they are the ones who we are in this war with. And we understand that we always have this human nature that is in man. We all have it. And we all have to fight that battle. We understand that we always have to deal with that human nature that is in man. We know that we live in Satan's world, where that nature is at work mightily in the human race. God says that Satan is the god of this world, and the ministry sounds the alarm to God's church constantly about this adversary, our enemy, God's enemy, talking about Satan. And he wants to steal what God has given you, brother. He wants to take what God has offered you. He wants to make you fail. He knows God's plan for man. And he does not like what God is doing through you. So we find ourselves in this war, this battle for our spiritual life that is ensuing. Let's turn over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Let's start in verse 1. And it's Israel at Mount Sinai. Exodus 19 and verse 1 it says, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai." So they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. So we can see what was taking place. They were camped before at the foot of that mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Eternal called to him from the mountain, saying, "You will say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel." And this is what he was to remind them of. "You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So God is reminding them of what he did, how he delivered them. "Now, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant," so God is telling them that they should listen to what he is saying to them. And then after they hear what he said, they were to become obedient. They were to listen to God. And then God tells us about a blessing that he would bestow on them if they would just listen and become obedient to him and his laws. God said in the rest of the verse, let's notice what he offered them. "Then you will be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "Then you would be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you will say to the children of Israel. So Moses called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Eternal commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Eternal has spoken we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Eternal. And the Eternal said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Eternal. Then the Eternal said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." The King James says, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So we can see God was giving instructions. He was setting them aside, and he was telling them to clean themselves up and let them be ready for the third day. "For on the third day, the Eternal will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." That's what was about to take place. So we, as the Church of God, should heed the sound and clean ourselves up and prepare ourselves for the return of God's Son to this earth. And at that last sound from the trumpet blast that will take place, and it will take place, brethren, in just a short while. It's not long now till 2019. Verse 12, we see God giving more instructions. And he told them to set bounds for the people all around, saying, "Take heed to yourself that you do not come up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he will not live. So, some awesome instructions that were given, brethren, if they did not obey what God said, it would cause them to die. They would die a physical death. And let's notice what took place. The instructions that were given. When the trumpet sounds long, so it was the sound of the trumpet sounding very long, they will come near the mountain. So that's what they were to do. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and set aside, sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. So they cleaned themselves up. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day and do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. So we can see that the sound that was made was very loud from that trumpet. And it was so loud, the sound was so loud that it made everyone that was there afraid. The message that was about to be given to them was the way that they were to live their lives. And this is the message to you and me today, brethren. We are to live our lives before God the way that He says we are to live it. And this is what they were about to be told. They were about to be given the Ten Commandments, the way that man was to live their lives. The commandments that teach man how to live. And it was commandments that taught them how to live with each other and to live with the great God of this universe. Brethren, whether we are physical or spirit, we all have to live the way that God says we have to live, to have peace. It's the only way that we can ever have peace, brethren. And we know that this is what Satan and the demons did not do. They rebelled against the great God of this universe and His ways that they were told to live, the way of peace. And we know that God gave up peace. Verse 17. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Brethren, I hope we understand how God works by now. God has sent His messenger at the end of this age to prepare a people to meet God, just as Moses did in his day. God is sending His Son back to this earth to set up the government of God upon this earth. And there will be those that live into the millennium who will meet His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And it is about government at that time. And we can see that in Moses' day, it was much about government. And we can see that Moses was leading the people to God to be taught about a way of life. And it is the same today. We have an apostle from the great God of this universe leading us to the great God of this universe and His Son. But in Moses' day, we can see that there was a magnificent display in their day as the message was brought to them. The sound of that trumpet that they heard, the sound of that trumpet was very, very loud, brother. I hope we hear the sound today. The sound from one that God has sent to this earth at this time. An apostle. And he's telling us about the government of God that is coming to this earth that will teach all of mankind the way to live. Let's go back to verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the eternal descended upon it in fire. Can you imagine seeing that take place, brother? All the smoke and all the fire that they were seeing as the great God of this universe descended upon that mountain. His smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So, a lot of shaking going on. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and it became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Eternal came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Eternal called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Eternal said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Eternal, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Eternal consecrate themselves, lest the Eternal break out against them." A warning to the ministry of their day for them. We have seen so many in the ministry of our day not heed the instructions of the great God of this universe, and they are no longer here, brother. It was a warning to the priest of those days. Verse 23. Moses said to the Eternal, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it, set it aside.'" Then the Eternal said to him, "Go down to the people and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Eternal, lest he break out against them." So we can see the instructions that were given. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them, saying, and telling them to be ready for the third day, which was the day of Pentecost, which is the day that those Ten Commandments were given, the law that was given at Mount Sinai by the very finger of God, brethren. For on the third day, the day of Pentecost, the Eternal will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Can you imagine what they were allowed to witness, brethren? Those events that were about to take place. Can you imagine what it was like to see this happening with your eyes, to see that awesome event, that awesome display that was taking place? "You will set the bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourself that you do not go to the mountain or touch its base.'" So we can see the warning and the instructions that they were given about how they were to come before this awesome event that was about to take place. And they were given instructions of what to do and what not to do. You and me are given instructions today of what to do and what not to do, so that we can attain eternal life in the God family. And it's done through an apostle and prophets and down through the ministry, brethren. In their time, it was about a physical death at their time. Ours is about attaining eternal life. They were told to clean themselves up before they came before God on that day of Pentecost. We are told to clean ourselves up so that we can be there at the day of Pentecost also, brethren. We are God's church, and we are to be clean for the return of God's Son back to this earth, the Savior of all this earth, of all of mankind, those that want to be there. And God says the church will be clean before that return takes place. Let's notice what's being said. "Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death." They'll be put to death because they didn't follow the instructions that were given. They didn't listen to that announcement that was made. And they would die a physical death, brethren, if they were disobedient. You and me are not to be disobedient once we have God's Spirit. For some that rebel and disobey, talking about those that have done the unpardonable sin, there will be death in that lake of fire, brethren. A spiritual death for them. What we're looking at today is a physical death for those in Moses' day. Verse 13, not a hand shall touch it, and they would die if they did. But he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. So it's about obedience, brethren. And if disobedience took place, they were to be killed. When the trumpet sounds long, so we see this trumpet is making this very, very loud sound. We can see that this trumpet is about an announcement that is being made about something that is about to take place. So when the trumpet sounds long, they were to come to the mountain, near the mountain. And they were to follow those instructions that they were given. They were to obey the instructions from the great God of this universe, brethren. So let's see what took place. Verse 14. Moses came down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. Talking about setting them aside and getting them cleaned up. And they washed their clothes. So this shows us they were coming before God and they were to be physically clean. But for us, God's church, we are to be clean spiritually. We are to keep sin out of our lives. The church that Jesus Christ comes to will be clean, brethren, spiritually clean. So we can see the physical example here of what we're being shown, of them being physically clean. For us, it's to be clean spiritually. When we were baptized, all of our sins were forgiven at baptism. And then we received God's Holy Spirit. And we were cleansed. From that time on, you and me are to live a clean life before our God. One that is acceptable to God. By striving to keep that sin out of our life. The sin that so easily ensnares us, brethren. But thankfully for you and me, we have a way that was made to deal with that sin. We can repent. Verse 15. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day, and do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings. So we can see this magnificent display that was taking place. So we can understand why there was some fear among the people. Some will get to see a magnificent display at the end of this age as Jesus Christ returns back to this earth. What a blessing that would be to see those awesome events unfold. And you, some of you have been offered that very thing, brethren, to see those displays that will take place in the sky. Those 50 days before Jesus Christ sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. Some will see it, brethren. Just as some of those of ancient Israel were blessed to see that event in their day. The giving of God's commandments that teach you and me how to live our lives and all of mankind eventually. And at the return of Jesus Christ back to this earth, those very commandments that they were about to witness, brethren, will be enforced through the government of God that will be here upon this earth at the return of God's Son back to this earth. But can you imagine the sounds and sights that they were about to see, that display that was taking place? And it says, a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet that was very long. The sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled, and they became afraid. They became fearful. They were trembling, brethren, because of what they were seeing and what they were hearing. The sights, those magnificent sights, the lightnings, the thundering, and the smoke and the fire that they were able to see. Can you imagine the display that they saw and those sounds that were taking place? The sound of that trumpet that was so loud and the sights that they saw that caused so much fear. There will be fear once again, brethren, at the end of this age. So this is a good example for us, the church of God that is preparing for the return of God's Son. Hopefully all of God's people by now should hear the sound from God's apostle. The last trumpet is not far away, brethren. We should hear the sound of all the trumpets. And it should be very loud in our minds about what is about to take place. Verse 17. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. We have one that is doing the same in God's church today, to stand before the great God and His Son, an apostle. And just like Moses, we are being led to the foot of the mountain, brother, the mountain of God, the government of God that is coming to this earth in just a short while. And He is bringing us to that mountain. Hopefully we can hear God. Hopefully we can hear the sound, the announcements from God that is coming from the great God of this universe, brethren. And we must listen to God. We must obey. We must listen to the sound of the trumpets. And they will be getting louder and louder, brethren, as we go through God's plan. We are on the verge of God's Son returning to this earth. And hopefully we are listening to God's government. God's government in the Church of God, PKG, preparing for God's government to come to this earth. With 144,000 to be in that government of God, with Jesus Christ upon this earth. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 18. And it's about the people being afraid of God's presence. It says, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, the sound of the trumpet. And they saw the mountain that was smoking. And when the people saw all of this, they were afraid and stood afar off. It's not so in our world today. There's no trembling of God. They don't see God in the picture of man. They don't see God having a role in the lives of mankind. And there is no fear of God, brethren, but that will change. We know some of the scriptures that tell us about the fear at the very end, just before Jesus Christ will set His foot upon the Mountain of Olives. Fear will be here on mankind, brethren. We know what Joel and some of the other prophets tell us about that fear. We know about the scriptures that tell us about those that will want to hide from the great God of this universe and His Son. They will want to hide in the clefts of the rocks. We know about the fall of Babylon and the fear that that will bring upon mankind. We know about the fear as they will see those signs in those skies for those 50 days. Where mankind will think they are being invaded from outer space. The fear that that will bring upon man. So there will be fear at the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. But your eyes will be allowed to see some wonderful events that not everyone will be privileged to see. the blessing of seeing those events unfold. Those in Moses' day saw and were afraid. And it will be so at the end of this age, brethren, when Satan is put in his prison for 1,000 years. God will gather him and the demons up so that man can live upon this earth for 1,000 years without their influence on man's mind. And they will not go out willingly, brethren. They will go out kicking and screaming, I can assure you. But God says he will bring the millennium to pass. God said he will bring it to pass where his son would be ruling this earth for 1,000 years to begin to bring peace to man. Verse 19. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But don't let God speak with us lest we die. So we can see the fear that they had. Moses said to the people, and let's notice what Moses said and what it was about. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you. Let's notice why. So that you may not sin. So that's what it was about. It was about sin that man would have. And God was telling them about a way of life, and he was going to give them his laws, the Ten Commandments, to live by. But we know what man would do, and we know and understand that man would need something to help him. We know the story of man down through time. We live at the end of an age, and we can look back and see what mankind has done with those laws that were given on Mount Sinai. We can look back through the scriptures that God had recorded for you and me, and we can see how they rebelled over and over and over. So we know the history of man and God's influence upon man through those laws that he had given man. So we know that man would need God's Spirit. He could not do it on his own. Man would need a Savior because of this sin that is spoken of way back then. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. And the Eternal said to Moses, then you will say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. So we can see through that trumpet that was so loud that got their attention, even though it brought fear. And those trumpet blasts that will sound before Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there will be fear, brethren, through those trumpet blasts. And the last trumpet will bring fear also, brethren. Let's go over to Leviticus 23 and let's look at verse 23. It tells us about this day. This day that we are here worshiping on this holy day, the day of trumpets, the high day. To learn about the trumpets and some of their meaning for us, the Church of God, PKG, to prepare us for what is ahead, as more trumpets are to be blown. Verse 23. Then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath of rest. And let's notice what else it was to be. A memorial of the blowing of trumpets, plural. A holy convocation. You shall do no customary work upon it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So we can see it was about the blowing of trumpets, plural, which means more than one. So we understand about the last trumpet that will be blown, but there are purposes for the other trumpets. They were used to announce. They were used to move the congregation. They were moved to have order. And they were also used to rejoice, brethren. So here we see it is for a memorial, a remembrance, better said. So we are to remember this Day of Trumpets and what it really means to the Church of God. It's a day about a reminder of the blowing of trumpets and what they are for. And there are more to be blown. And it is a holy day to God. And we are to observe it as so. And it has much meaning in the plan of God. The blowing of trumpets, we know and we saw how it was used to announce to the tribes of Israel about what they were to do and how they were to move, assemble, to rejoice in the things they were to do. And we saw how the trumpet is also about alarms that were given to have order. So God says we are to remember and look at all those things that took place. We've had sermons about how God and how He delivered ancient Israel. And God says that we should remember and rejoice about that and never forget what He did by bringing them out of bondage. And we should always rejoice about that and never forget what He did for them and for us. We need to rejoice about how we heard His voice, how we heard that sound that came from God, and how He called us, and how He offered us eternal life. And He offered us life in His family, the God family, to become Elohim. We understand that we are a spiritual Israel, and we are to remember how we were delivered and are being delivered, better said. And it is much about the alarms that God is showing you and me. It is much about the warning signs, because Satan is still here, brethren, and he wants to make you fail. So God gives us warning. And we have seen so many fail, brethren. We have seen so many fail to hear the sound. The sounds that were coming from the great God of this universe, through His church, through His apostle, through His ministry. Trumpets can be a signal of something, and it also can be a time to move. Trumpet sounds are about war. They are about battles. They are about an alarm. And it can be about shouting shouts of joy. So this is a day of trumpets, a day of sounds that come from those trumpets. And those trumpets have many sounds, and they have many meanings in God's plan. Verse 24, speak to the children of Israel in the seventh month on the first day of the month. You will have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So you shall do no customary work on this day. So we understand we're not to work on this day. We are to do something else, brethren. We are to offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So this is a holy day, and we understand we give an offering on this day, an offering to our God. Physically speaking and spiritually speaking, we are to make both of these offerings to our God. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Let's look at where the trumpet was blown in a time of rejoicing that occurred at that time. Psalms 81 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 81 and verse 1. David wrote, sing aloud to the Eternal, our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel. The pleasant heart with the lute. And let's notice when it was in verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. So we know that this is the first day of the seventh month, which is the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn day at the appointed times. So David is writing about a trumpet being blown on the day of trumpets, which is at the new moon, the first day of the seventh month. David said we are to rejoice. We are to rejoice in the fact that God is delivering you and me, those of us in the Church of God, PKG, preparing for God's kingdom that is coming to this earth. God has announced to you and me through His apostle that He is going to deliver the Church of God, PKG. Brethren, what you and me have been given, the knowledge of God's plan, and what He is doing is worth more than anything you could acquire in this world. It is more valuable than any gold that you could acquire, any silver, any precious metal, or any precious things upon the face of this earth that you could acquire in Satan's world. I hope you understand what you have been offered. I hope you understand the value of what you have been offered. You have been offered that pearl of great price, brethren. You have been offered the treasure that God tells us about, that one could have. You can have eternal life in the God family, brethren. You can become Elohim. Can you imagine such a thing? Verse 4. Just notice what God said. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob that He, God, established in Joseph. For a witness, better said. So God did it. That's the one who did it when He went through the land of Egypt. Verse 6. God removed His shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. So this is talking about the time that God delivered ancient Israel. He delivered them from, if we remember, making those bricks without straw. The burdens that they were put upon, those heavy taskmasters that they had. So God told them that they were to remember. So it's the same for you and me, brother. We have been called out of spiritual Egypt, out of that bondage. So on this day, it's a day for you and me to remember and hear the sound of that trumpet, brethren, that we are being freed. The day of trumpets is much about an announcement about you and me. And this is a cause for you and me to rejoice upon this day, to hear that sound, the sound of freedom that is coming to all of mankind, all of those that want this way of life, all of those that want to live in peace. Peace for eternity, brother. That's what you're being offered. Freedom. So God uses trumpets to announce. And this sound of the trumpet, that announcement is good news for you and me. So that is a reason for you and me to rejoice mightily, brother, because of the understanding that the great God of this universe has given to you, the knowledge of His plan, the knowledge of what He is doing, the knowledge about His kingdom that He's bringing to this earth with the government of God that will be here upon this earth, a just government, finally, brethren, to bring peace to mankind. God is delivering you and me, His church, that is preparing for His kingdom. And just as He delivered ancient Israel, He is delivering you and me out of the bondage of this world, Satan's world. And He called us, and He placed us into His church, the church that is for your protection, brethren. Spiritual protection. That's what He's done. God has shown you and me much mercy. And He's called us out of this world, Satan's world, and placed us in the true church of God. so that we can be protected spiritually if we obey and if we stay close to Him. So the Feast of Trumpets is much about announcements. The Feast of Trumpets is much about remembering what God has done for you and me in our life. We understand this is a day of war that we are in. We are in this war. I know we don't fully understand the danger that is there. I know we don't understand the seriousness of the times that we live in. I know that we can get so wrapped up in this world, Satan's world, that we lose our focus. But God says this is a day to focus. To focus upon His plan and the announcement and the sounds that come from Him. So many trumpets, brethren, so many things having to do with this day and what it means to you and me. But brethren, we are at war. Hopefully, we can grasp the magnitude of that war. We have seen so many become casualties, brethren. So many that walk side by side with you and me on God's Sabbath day. And now they have become a casualty. And they have become an enemy of the great God of this universe and His Son. Brethren, either we fight in this fight, this war that we are in, or we fight against the great God of this universe and His Son. That's actually what would take place. And we have seen it happen to so many, brethren. Just as we saw that ancient Israel had to be clean when coming before God, the church of God, the body of Christ, has to be cleansed, brethren. And we have been going through a cleansing. God is cleaning up His church for the return of His Son. So, the Day of Trumpets is a good time to remind us about this, of what is taking place. We can look on the horizon and we can see that physical war is on the horizon. We don't need God's book to see that. We are so close to that war, and it's going to begin very soon, brethren. We can see it in the news. We hear about it in God's church, through God's apostle and through God's ministry, the sounds that are coming from God. And warning, those trumpets that are sounding about what is about to take place. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We know that world war is coming upon this world, this physical world. We know about that war. Hopefully, we understand about our war now that we are in, the battle for our spiritual lives that is taking place. We have to fight, brethren. Satan and the demons are still around in this world, this physical world. This is not God's world, brethren. The kingdom of God is coming to rule this earth. But Satan is still here in man's age. So God tells us how we are to fight this war. This war that we find ourselves in. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, become strong. That's a better way of saying it. So we are to become strong. We are to become stronger. We really don't want to use our mind to do this, brethren. We need God's help through that Holy Spirit to help us fight this war, these battles that we find ourselves in. And God has given us that Spirit. So He tells us in verse 11 to put on the whole armor of God. So what is this saying? The armor of God. So it's got to be the armor that God has supplied to you and me. God supplies all the armor that we need. We have to put on all of it. We can't just put on part of it. But God has supplied every bit of the armor that you and me need. And he says, put on the whole armor. Because we are in a war, a spiritual war. And the trumpets are used as an alarm about this war that we are in. So God has a holy day, the day of trumpets, to remind you and me about this war and the meaning of this war for the Church of God, PKG, and the purpose of this day in the plan of God. So we are to put on the whole armor of God. Let's notice the rest of verse 11. So that you may be able to stand against the wiles. We know about Satan and the deceitfulness of those demon beings. They use that deception, those wiles, to get to you and me. So we are to put on that whole armor of God and be sobered by the reality of the war that we find ourselves in. That we are engaging in a war. And if we don't fight, we're going to be destroyed. And we have seen so many that have lost their way, brethren. And now they do not recognize any of the dangers of the time that we're in. They don't think they've left God. They think they are still worshiping God. They still think they have put on the armor of God. So we are to put on this armor so that we can withstand that demon world, that power that is there. We have seen so many die on a spiritual plane. We have seen so many lose the war. So you and me need to look around. My wife and I have seen thousands upon thousands lose this war, brother. The battlefield is a bloody battlefield that we have walked through, brother. I know Ron and Laura and all of those of us that lived through the apostasy, that battlefield is so full of blood, brother. We need to focus, as this day tells us, that Feast of Trumpets, upon the war that we are in with this demon world. Those attacks that come from that demon world is about the great God of this universe and what he has offered you. Satan hates what God has offered you, brother. He hates God's plan for man. And believe me, it is a bloody, bloody, bloody battlefield that we have walked through, brother, up to this time. Hopefully that's about over. So the things that are written in God's book is so we can understand about that demon world that is here. And the other trumpets are about to sound. That sounding is getting stronger today, brethren. Verse 12 tells us about the war that we are in. And tells us about who it's with. And God said in his book that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's about a spiritual war, and it is a battle for your mind, brethren. That's what they want. That's what they're after. God says in this book that we wrestle against principalities that are there. The ones that work a bit against this holy day that you and me are here celebrating. They work against the Sabbath that you observe, those battles that you are there to observe, those days that God says to observe. And you fight. You had a fight for those days, brother. I know you do. And we have to fight against the powers that are there. God says against spiritual wickedness that is there. It's what it is. Wicked spirits and high places with power. That's what it means. So that's why you and me have to be close to our God and realize the war that we find ourselves in. And we have to know how to fight that war. And God is giving it to us in Ephesians 6. What we are to do, the armor that comes from Him, that He has prepared for you and me so that we can stand all those fiery darts that they throw at us. Verse 14, stand therefore, is what God says. So it's about standing, withstanding, standing firm, fighting the fight, fighting the war, fighting the battles. God says having our loins girded about with truth. In other words, when we look at a carpenter or electrician, we've seen those belts that they wear with all the tools that they need to get the job done. They have them on that belt. And they attach that belt around their waist. So this is an example of what is being said. The belt that holds all these weapons that we can use to get the job done. The truth is what we wear. That's what we are clothed with. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, so it's about being clothed with all those truths that come from God. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He is telling us how to be in His family, Elohim. And James wrote it down in God's book, how we are to fight the war that we are in. We're to have our feet shod with the preparation. And it's like wearing shoes. And we're to be prepared with the good news, the gospel of peace. God will have peace once again, brethren. He gave it up. But He's creating peace again. He's bringing that city of peace back to this earth. And He will establish peace for an eternity, brethren. Peace in the God family. But we have to fight for it. We have to fight that spiritual war. We have to fight those battles that take place in our lives. And we're to be clothed with that armor that God gave to you and me. All of it, brother, not just part of it. Verse 16. And let's notice. Above all, taking the shield of faith. A shield. And we know what a shield is. It's something that we can hold up that fights all those darts, all those arrows, and it catches them that are thrown at you and me. God says it's fiery darts that are being thrown. And they burn, brother. They sting. They hurt when they're thrown. And take the helmet of salvation, like one that would wear riding a motorcycle, a bicycle. It's something that covers the head. Something that protects the head as we go through this war. And the sword of the Spirit. So, it's about God's Spirit and the sword of God's Spirit that comes from God. The sword of truth. The Word of God. Verse 18. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We are to fight this fight, putting on the whole armor in our life, so that we're able to hear the sound of the trumpet blast, so that we can know what direction to go to hear those sounds. The sound that tells us to follow, the sounds that tell us to turn right or to turn left. To hear the sounds of the present truths when they are given. So that when God tells us through His apostle, through His ministry, we can heed those sounds. God says we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Talking about coming before God in prayer, in sincere prayer, to pour out ourselves to the great God of this universe. With the trials that we are facing, with the things that we are to be doing in our lives, praying about to keep us spiritually alert in Satan's world, to keep us in the faith, to keep us so that we can go forward and fight this fight that we are in. The sound of the trumpet, brethren, is about war. It's about a real war that we have to fight. We have to recognize it as a war. And we have to hear the importance of hearing the sound of the trumpets that are about to sound. Hopefully we can see the depth, the spiritual depth in the Feast of Trumpets. Hopefully we can hear the direction. Hopefully we can hear the instruction. Hopefully we can hear the instruction to stand fast in the truth with the sounds that come from the great God of this universe and His Son. The sounds that come to His church that is preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth, so that we can be there, so that we can see that kingdom. Brethren, hopefully, we will see the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth with 144,000 that will come at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And the Feast of Trumpets is much about that announcement that the kingdom of God is coming to this earth, that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth. Trumpets is much about those announcements. Let's go over to Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. We know the story, and it's about the story of Gideon. And it's when Gideon and all the troops that were with him, verse 1, Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. And it's when Gideon and all the troops that were there with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Eternal said to Gideon, "The troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.' Now, therefore, proclaim this in the hearing of the troops. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home." Then Gideon sifted them out. 22,000 returned, brethren. 10,000 remained. Then the Eternal said to Gideon, "The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you there." So we can see what God is doing. He is sifting through those troops to find what He needs to get the job done. So it will be done through Him. And He's doing it the same at the end of this age, brethren. We are so small, brethren. But God says it will do it through us, and it will confound the mighty. So it's an example for you and me, those at the end of this age, the story of Gideon and what took place. Verse 4. The Eternal said to Gideon, "The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you there. When I say this one will go with you, he will go with you. And when I say this one shall not go with you, he will not go." So we can see God doing the sifting. So he brought the troops down to the water, and the Eternal said to Gideon, let's notice, "All those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps, you will put to one side. All those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you will put to the other side." Let's notice verse 6. The number of those that lapped was 300. All the rest of the troops knelt down to drink water. Then the Eternal said to Gideon, "With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go to their homes." So, brethren, it is so at the end of this age. God said that He would do it with a small remnant, brethren. It will not be large. It will be a small remnant, brethren, that God would use to bring his plan about. And that's what God is doing here with Gideon. So he took the jars of the troops from their hands and their trumpets. Let's notice. And their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel back to their own tents, but retained the 300. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley, so they were standing at the top of the hill. That same night the Eternal said to him, "Get up, attack the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you fear to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened to attack the camp." Then he went down with his servant to the outpost of the armed men that were in the camp. And the Midianites and Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley as thick as locusts. So it was a great multitude of soldiers, brethren. And their camels were without number. So they were so many you couldn't even number them. Countless, let's notice, as the sands on the seashore. And here Gideon was with 300 men. So God said, if you fear to attack, go down and listen to what was being said. So when Gideon arrived, there was a man telling a dream, and he said, "I had a dream. And in a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell. It turned upside down and the tent collapsed." And his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has given." Let's notice what God put in his mind to say, so that they could hear it. "A man of Israel, into his hand God has given Midian and all the army." So this is what Gideon heard: the telling of the dream and the interpretation. He worshiped. Let's notice what he did. He worshiped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Get up, for the Eternal has given the army of Midian into your hand." So Gideon was convinced. Verse 16. After he divided the 300 men into three companies, so he divided them, 100 to each company, is what he did. And let's notice, he put trumpets into the hands of all of them. So here were 300 men, 100 companies in each, three companies, with trumpets. And he put trumpets in empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do the same. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, all of you that are with me, then you also blow the trumpets around the whole camp and shout for the Eternal and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. So the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried, "A sword for the Eternal and for Gideon." Verse 21, every man stood in his place all around the camp, and all the men in camp ran. They cried out and fled. In verse 22, when they blew the 300 trumpets, let's notice what took place. The Eternal set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the army. Let's notice what they did. They turned and fought one another, and the army fled. We know the story. And it's an example for the end of this age, brethren. It's an example for God's church. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Let's just look at verse 1. Start in verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and let's notice what's taking place, and to them were given seven trumpets. Over and over again, brethren, we see the use of trumpets in God's book. And we saw how 300 trumpets were used in the story of Gideon. So we should apply that down to our time and what God is doing. Let's look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's go over there and look. Because Joshua was used mightily. And God used trumpets in Joshua's day, just like he did in Gideon's day. And he's using them in our day too, brother. The seven last trumpets that will sound. The seventh trumpet, Jesus Christ will return. But let's look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. So they were scared. They had heard those stories about the great God of this universe and how he had delivered the children of Israel. So they had shut that city up tight. No one went in and no one came out. And the Eternal said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." Just like God told Gideon. "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You will march around the city, all you men of war. You will go all around the city once. This you will do for 6 days. Seven priests will bear," let's notice, "seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you will march around the city 7 times and the priests will blow their trumpets. And it will come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear it," let's notice, "when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpets, that all the people will shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat." Let's drop down to verse 15. "Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched round the city 7 times in the same manner. So for the first 6 days they went around the city just once per day. Finally, on the seventh and last day, they went around the city 7 times. The timing is different, brother, but the example is the same at what will happen at the end. The seventh trumpet with the seven last plagues will be here. There are some differences, but the story is very much like what will happen at the end. All the things around the sound of the trumpets and what they mean concerning the return of Jesus Christ back to this earth. Those sounds, those announcements that were being made. It's about deliverance. God said that wall would fall down flat. They would be delivered. Verse 16. "The seventh time it was so. When the priest blew the trumpets." Let's notice. Who blew them? The priest blew the trumpets. "And Joshua said to the people," in this case, we know it was the shofars that were blown. And if you've ever heard a shofar, they make an incredibly loud sound, brethren. "Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Eternal has given you the city. So the people shouted. When the priests blew the trumpets, they blew the shofars. And it happened when the people, let's notice, heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So when God talks about the walls of the city coming down, brethren, about Jericho falling down, the examples that were given here in Joshua. So when God talks about Babylon falling at the very end, it's a very good example for you and me in the church of God. And when that angel shouts at the end, when it talks about Babylon falling, that trumpet that will be blown, it lets you and me know what God is doing, and it is a type for the end time. Let's look at Revelation 18 and verse 2. And he, talking about the angel, cried mightily. Let's notice what's taking place. With a strong voice. Talking about the sound of the trumpet, brethren. Babylon the great is fallen. So, we can see the example that was given about the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. But now, it's about the whole world system that we call Babylon. The Babylonian system that is in place. And it will come crumbling down just as those walls of Jericho fail, brethren. Let's notice verse 19. They threw dust upon their heads and cried out, let's notice, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Let's notice verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, let's notice, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Verse 24. And in her was found, let's notice, the blood of prophets and saints, and all of those who were slain upon the earth, brethren. I said earlier, just in my time upon the face of this earth, my wife and I have walked through fields of blood, brethren. It has been a bloody, bloody war. And that's what God is telling us here in these very verses, that it is a bloody war. And there have been so many casualties, brethren, till it's brought down to just a few at the end of this age. A small remnant of God that God uses to bring His plan to fruition. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 58, God had Isaiah write about, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up the voice like a trumpet. And he had Isaiah write to show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And Jeremiah, God wrote through Jeremiah about a watchman that would be over, talking about over his people is what it's talking about, brethren. And he said, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, the sounds that come from those trumpets. But they said, we will not hearken. And we know the story of ancient Israel. But now, you and me are at the end of an age. We have to listen to those trumpet sounds, brethren. In Ezekiel 33, it was about the watchman and his message. And just as in Ezekiel's time, we have a watchman at the end of this age. God has sent his apostle and prophets at the end of this age with his message. And in verse 3 of Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel wrote that when the watchman sees the sword coming upon the land, Ezekiel said, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning. So this message is very much for our time, brethren. If the sword comes and takes him away, the blood will be upon his own head. That's what was written. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood will be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. So that is written very much for you and me, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So God has sent his watchman and his message to his remnant church at the end of this age to warn God's people and to warn the world. The books have been written that will warn this world for those that will heed God's message. And hopefully some can be saved because of that very thing. All the trumpets, brother, all those trumpets that have been blown, all of them lead up to the seventh trumpet that is recorded in Revelation 11. Let's turn over to Revelation 11. We know the time frame. It's when the witnesses will be resurrected. And it's after 3.5 days, verse 11, that the breath of life comes from God and enters them, and they stand upon their feet, and great fear will fall upon those that see them. And they, let's notice what they heard. They heard a loud voice from heaven. The sound. They heard that sound. And that sound told them to come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies saw them. And in the same hour there was a great shaking, a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And in the shaking, in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, were put to death. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. And let's notice verse 15. It's about the seventh trumpet, brethren. And it's about the kingdom of God being proclaimed. The seventh angel sounded, that seventh trumpet. And there were loud voices, let's notice, loud voices, loud sounds from those voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God upon their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The power that the God of this world underestimated, brethren. And he will pay with his life, brethren, because he underestimated that power from the great God of this universe. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they would be judged, and that you should reward your servants. Let's notice who it is, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. And we'll destroy those that are destroying the earth. Brethren, Matthew 24 and verse 31 tells us, you don't have to turn there, that he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. And he will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the earth. That's what God says in this book. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, he tells us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will hear that sound, brethren, the sound of that trumpet, and they will be raised incorruptible and will be changed into spirit, brethren. They will now be in the God family. They will now become Elohim. So, brethren, heed the sounds of the trumpets that are ahead for the church of God. God tells you and me to prepare ourselves for God's kingdom that is coming to this earth, brethren. So prepare yourself, brethren, as the rest of these trumpets are preparing to sound.